Welcome to Euromonitor International's podcast series discussing global trends in industries, economies, and consumers. I'm your host, Peter Cosmel, and joining us today is Stella Vacheva, Euromonitor's head of innovation, and Allison Angus, Euromonitor's head of lifestyles. Stella, Allie, how are you today?
I'm good, Pete. Thanks. Excited to be here today.
Hi, Pete. I'm good, thank you. I'm really excited to be talking to you today about this megatrends quantification.
Yeah, so that is exactly what I wanted to talk to you both about today, megatrends, and the need to quantify those megatrends. So before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty of that, let me ask you this. What is a megatrend?
Okay, Pete, I'll take this one. So megatrends are long-term consumer-driven trends. They're very much defined by changes in how consumers think, how they behave. So thinking about their values and new habits that they form and that stick. So there's a number of things about megatrends. First of all, they're global. They impact across industries. And what they do, they define what's happening now, but also how consumer markets evolve over time. So they're really important for businesses planning and getting their product and strategy development and investments right so that they can stay relevant. So they stay in touch with what consumers really want and need over time. And that can be the tough part. Businesses are inundated with information on consumer trends, but being able to decipher everything that's out there and extract what's most important and conceptualize the future so they can really make confident investment decisions can be pretty much a minefield.
And I know both of you have been involved in megatrend research for some time. Can you tell me the process of this research?
Sure, Pete. Well, the reality is that over the past 40 years or so, Euromonitor has monitored consumer spend, their preferences, their behavior across a full spectrum of consumer good industries. And in addition to that, we have a deep knowledge of social, economic, environmental, and technology drivers and can deduce from those how these are shaping consumer purchasing behavior over time. Finally, we also have eyes and ears on the ground in more than 120 markets. And so in real time, we can spot trends and innovations that emerge and develop. So this is really a deep knowledge and insight that we've ultimately translated into the megatrend content and framework that can really help understand what we can expect from consumers in the future. So learning across all these different segments, we can draw some quite powerful insights for what's to come. The challenge, however, is that whilst for us, these trends are substantiated with data, to users of this content, they seem a bit of a broad concept that sometimes they have difficulty to explain or difficulty to justify when they're trying to use those in-house. And so we know for sure that when our clients and users of our data and content are trying to take the megatrend insights to their board, oftentimes there's questions about the number, the stickiness for decisions of investment and innovation to be made with those in hand. And so we can set out a task to pull out all of our data across these categories and geographies and socio-demographic indicators in order to develop a data model that really can help us speak to the trends and how they will unfold with more confidence. And this is exactly the model that we build. Ali and I have been working on this for the last 12 months to try to pull all of this together to start building that quantitative picture and understand how these trends compare.
That really sounds like an incredibly complex process. Can you kind of walk us through how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. It is quite a process. And like Stella said, we've been working on this for quite some time because there's no exact science to it. I think the point is, you know, this process was complex, but megatrends are complex. They're huge. They're really broad. And they look across the nuances of how consumers think and behave and prioritize their spend across geographies globally and across industries, like we've mentioned before. So what happens is the trends impact markets and industries differently. And that makes it harder for companies to really analyze megatrends with confidence. So the trends also evolve over time because the drivers of those trends, like technology and the economic landscape, they shift. If we just think about how technology advances and how rapidly it changes, and how that impacts on how we do things as consumers, the last year has really highlighted that, right? So we can see how drivers such as technology have such an impact. So while understanding what the trends mean gives companies a good indication of where they should be investing, often those strategic decisions are based on past experiences and looking at these trends against a historic industry performance. So we've for some time been asked by clients to quantify these trends, and it is really challenging. It's difficult to actually put a dollar value on them. But what we can do and what we have done is quantify consumers' spending in relation to a megatrend and then analyze how that spending is expected to evolve as we move forward.
So explain the process to me of quantifying a megatrend.
Sure, I can help with that. So in essence, we took three key steps in developing this quantitative analysis. The first thing we looked at is specific sales and value data from across all of our industries, or essentially what we call proxies or indicators to begin to paint a picture of how significant the trend is. Now, remember that we have around 30 industries to pull from, and by using a number of these indicators together, we begin to get a clearer idea on ultimately what we call the propensity of consumers to purchase products, which are positioned towards a certain trend across a different area of their spend. So we're looking at the consumer's propensity to spend towards a certain trend. And in essence, this helps inform what consumers are willing to spend on versus some of the softer trend analysis, which focuses more on what consumers think or say that they're interested to spend. So are they willing to put money behind what they claim they want to do? Just to give you an example, if we think about one of our key megatrends, which is the digital living one, which in essence refers to consumer being connected digitally and the implication that has in their day-to-day life. When we look to understand digital living, we take into account data that measures spend on things like smartphones or computers or wearables, as well as spend on digital services like streaming or online retailing or digital bill payment. And this is just a few of the ones that we have been able to put behind each of these trends. Now, these initial proxies begin to tell the story of the impact, the size of these trends. The second step then is to understand how these will pan out over time. And to do that, we identified a series of data points that speak to economic, social, demographic, technology, and environmental drivers that determine how each trend shapes up over time. So if we look at how these drivers collide and shape society over time, we very quickly begin to make some strong conclusions of what the impact will be on these various megatrends. And so maybe useful to go back to the example of digital living. We looked at indicators such as speed of urbanization, for example, or access to internet. These type of drivers really help us understand over time the speed with which a trend will gain further prominence or momentum, and ultimately to translate that into what consumers are choosing to spend towards. Now, these are complex data techniques and analysis. And all of this in the third and final step was validated through a process of consultation with our in-house experts. Ultimately, within Euromonitor, we have strong teams that look at the trends, our trend leads, as well as our industry heads who have deep knowledge of their respective spaces and work very closely with organizations around the world to understand how these trends are interpreted for strategic planning or new product development. And that really helped us get confidence behind what the data was telling us. And so what this analysis has provided is really an unprecedented quantified view of which trends will determine consumer spend across geographies in the future.
So what did you uncover as you went about this whole process?
Yeah, it's been really interesting, Pete. So firstly, the first thing we did was actually compare the results for all the trends. So we did this for 8 megatrends, and we compared those results globally to see which stood out as being the trends consumers were spending more on. And what that showed us was that the shopping reinvented megatrend, so that's all about shifts in how consumers make their purchases, so how and where they shop and changes in their purchasing behavior. Yeah, it showed that shopping reinvented megatrend is expected to show that the strongest growth potential moving forward. And this is a global view of it. And the other thing then also highlighted really strong growth within the digital living space. And actually, when you look at the two of those things together, with much of the change in how consumers shop leaning towards digital solutions, we can understand why we would then see strong growth within the digital living space. So we can connect these things as well. And when we talk about digital living, you know, that is how they shop, but also how consumers live and interact and learn and now work as well, which we're seeing more and more. So for sure, shopping reinvented and digital living were two megatrends showing the strongest growth globally. So what this quantitative analysis also allows us to evaluate, though, is how the megatrends are performing in different markets. So, for example, when we looked at China, we found that spending within the middle class reset trend is set to expand the most. Now, this is a trend that's all about the growing middle class population and their behavior. And so the middle class reset trend is really going to be strong in China because we see that growing middle class population. It's expanding and their incomes are rising, meaning they're spending more. What we also see is trends like wellness and sustainable living, which are increasingly important to consumers and therefore growing. Consumers are spending on health and more sustainable products, and that's creating opportunities for companies to invest. But what we see is that the growth in those trends is slower than some of the larger trends like we've seen with shopping reinvented and digital living.
Yeah, and just to add to this, Pete, Ali and I spent a long time trying to analyze this data and look at the different cuts of it, and it's absolutely fascinating. And so another example to add here for our listeners, another way we can look at this data is to look at specific trends and to see which markets offer the most potential for investment. So actually take the trend view rather than the cross comparison view across different trends. And so what this can help is, for example, if a brand has a product that is particularly well positioned towards a specific trend and is looking to understand options of where it makes sense to introduce or scale this brand in the next 3 to 5 years, we're really able to evaluate the data and see in which specific market this would land well. Just to give an example, if we have a brand that is positioned particularly well towards the wellness space, we should consider markets where the wellness megatrend is taking off at a strong pace. And so if we look at the data, these are markets like China or Malaysia or Vietnam, Thailand, but also France, Sweden, or Canada. And though this may seem a little bit intuitive, we now can leverage the data to support a business case for future investment rather than looking at it just from a qualitative trend perspective. We can also have a look, for example, at another one, which is sustainable living, like Ali mentioned, which looks at putting more value of consumers putting more value towards products and services that have a sustainable positioning. Now, this trend has taken center stage for companies around the world, particularly when thinking about future investment and innovation. And it is interesting to evaluate where this trend is currently really actually ingrained in consumer purchasing decision and compare that with what we see in the future. So again, looking at the data that we were able to develop, markets like Denmark and Sweden are by far the ones where sustainable positioning is a key purchasing criteria. These markets sit in a cohort with a couple of other European countries in the US and Australia, where just the product range and the price points make these products accessible to consumers, and therefore we certainly see a stronger propensity to spend in this space. But if we consider the next 5 years, we see countries like Malaysia and Vietnam and South Korea starting to emerge as ones with strong propensity to spend on products with such sustainable positioning. Now, this, of course, is alongside the European and North American markets where you still see that trend gaining traction and certainly seeing an increased share of wallet from consumer being put towards that trend. And so this gives you a good idea of what are the type of different forms of analysis you can leverage this broader model for.
So all these trends that you've uncovered, how can they explain consumer spending overall?
I think that's a really interesting question, Pete, actually. And because in our analysis, we emphasize that the mega trends and particularly the 8 key mega trends that we currently focus on, because we mentioned that they're a strong predictor of consumer behavior and spend over time, that's why they're really important. And so what we did is we looked at the aggregate of these 8 trends to quantify them against discretionary spending. And by doing that, we see that in markets like China, South Korea, and the UAE, for example, the 8 trends can explain around 30 to 40% of consumer spend. But what we also saw is that there's actually a couple of other groups of markets. And so there are those where the trends are still emerging. So in countries like Russia, in Chile, Poland, for example, or those where there's a much more diversified offer available. So developed markets like the US, Canada, and the UK, where we need to look at the broader portfolio of megatrends, because in these markets, we see that the 8 focus megatrends probably explain about 15 to 20% of discretionary spend. And just to clarify here, within Euromonitor, we have this megatrends framework that we built in 2017, and it identifies 20 megatrends. But we focus now on 8 of those in particular, and that's what we've quantified. And they're 8 that we consider to have the most significant impact now and in coming years. So these are just some of the cuts of this data, which really allow us to understand the impact and navigate through megatrends with much more confidence.
So the big question here, and what I'm going to leave you with, is how can companies use all this content?
Yeah, for a really long time, companies have been asking us, how do you know that a trend is substantial and not a fad? We get this question all the time. Or how do we know that the trend will stick and that it's not just a temporary one? But because we know that consumers do change their minds. So how can you be sure? And whilst we had the data in-house and our experts could speak to it with confidence, our clients just didn't see it or didn't have visibility to kind of these more tangible evidence behind it. And to add to this, there's an increasingly unestablished consumer-centric approach to product development and portfolio across organizations. So it's just not possible anymore to develop ideas or products without accounting for the shift in the consumer behavior. So now we're really excited to begin engaging with companies leveraging this content, because we strongly believe that it can help businesses to evaluate which trends they identify with the most, provide them with some real numbers behind the future opportunities and really help them understand which markets offer the most potential for this investment. And ultimately, with this quantitative tool, alongside our qualitative megatrend analysis, which we have on all industry level, and the broader framework of it, we can really help companies confidently shape their future portfolio and strategic thinking.
Well, Ali, Stella, I appreciate you both coming on the show and explaining this to me and to the broader audience. And remember, you can find all of our multimedia over on our blog at blog.euromonitor.com. Thank you.